2 as we roll on talking about this top 100 players list that came out of CBS Sports with college football players. Travis Hunter is the top of the list. He's number one. And we're talking about what that could mean for team success and, of course, the Heisman, if it could come home to Colorado, thanks to Travis Hunter being a star defensive player and then doing what he can do on the offensive end as wide receiver. Love to hear from you, Buffs fans, what you think of that discussion, that conversation. RamosLaw.com text line's always rolling for you at 303-713-1043, or the show's available on Twitch, if that's how you like to consume it. Twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom right over there. So we wonder about Travis. Well, will he have to compete with somebody on his team? Because if you go down to number 4 on this list, Travis Hunter is number 1, and you get to 4. That's where Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders goes. They write, "Sanders is my current pick to go first overall in the 2025 NFL draft. He's also, in my opinion, the best quarterback in college football for the 2024 season." Stoke, I guess kind of similar questions for you. Do you believe he'll be in contention for the Heisman Trophy? Will they be battling one another? Quarterback's always going to kind of have a step in the right direction ahead of any other position, in my opinion. But is Shedeur Sanders the 4th best player and the best college quarterback going right now?
Seems like it. And I think you're right when you say, like, Shedeur has a, like, the quarterback position has an edge over, right, every other position. But there's an outlier there.
There is.
The two-way player.
All right.
Because we don't see it anymore, yeah. Right? So I think that closes the gap to a certain degree and helps a guy like Travis Hunter out, because we don't see two-way players anymore. And certainly two-way players that do it at the level that he was doing at last year on both sides of the football. Now, we saw Charles Woodson, you know, and certain guys play a little bit of offense when they're mainly defensive backs. This guy's playing a ton of offense and defense. So he's doing it at a whole nother level, and we just don't see that anymore. So I think when you have that, that certainly adds to your resume in a big way. So I think you take Travis Hunter out of everyone else, and you put him more closer to the quarterbacks when it comes to the Heisman Trophy and how they vote and what they look at and how they judge and vote on these guys. I think he's more closer to being a quarterback because of what he provides on the offense and defensive side of the football. I think that's a great storyline there. And Shedeur, I don't know. We'll see. He started off hot and flamed out last year and looked great early, looked bad late. So we'll see what him and Pat Shurmur look like together, offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, and hopefully it looks more like it was at the beginning of the year because he was doing a lot of great things then. And then at the end, it just all kind of fell apart, and it was just like, oh, okay, this is not good. Yeah, hopefully it looks more like the beginning. I mean, what do you think of it?
Yeah, and I wonder about that same thing, and I wonder how much, I mean, Stoke, I'm not making this conversation up here. This was a big topic of conversation with the Buffaloes. Will this year be more about the team around Shedeur or Shedeur and the team? Right? Because that was the talk last year. He's holding on to the ball. Maybe he doesn't want incompletions. That completion percentage meaning a lot to him. And I think that's a legitimate conversation to have around him. I would hope that the conversation now leads to, hey, team success, it's all going to fall on your shoulders because you are the quarterback of the team. So you still want to ball out and you still want to put up the numbers that he's capable of putting up, but, you know, play more for the other 10 guys that are on the field with you more than just the quarterback that's on the field rocking black and gold.
Well, that's, obviously with Deion, as much as he has talked about Shedeur and you see what he's done in the offseason offensively and who he hired, Pat Shurmur, NFL offensive coordinator. He had an NFL, defensive coordinator. So, like, are we trying to win football games here? Are we trying to get the players ready to play in the NFL? I think that's a fair question. When you look at CU and their coaching staff and how it's constructed. And I mean, the other question is, and I'm not saying it's a negative. I'm not saying it's a positive. We'll see. Right, this year, what it looks like. But can you accomplish both would be my question. Can you have a guy like Pat Shurmur get these guys ready, right, for the NFL, NFL pro-style system, and still win? Like, why can't we do both, right?
I think it's definitely possible, but you look at the landscape of the college football, I mean, how many programs are doing that, Stoke? Like, the top dogs in the SEC, the big dogs in the Big Ten are able to do that because of recruits and who's behind guys. I don't know that that's a great, that would be a great thing to have. I don't know that CU is there right now. I mean, that's the ideal goal.
Well,
I
yeah,
guess.
You won 7-8 games. I think that's another big jump forward. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, winning a national championship and winning 12 games, but 7-8 wins to me is another, you know, step in the right direction. And look, you got good players. You're developing NFL offenses and NFL defenses, and also, you know, you're winning football games. But it will be interesting to see Shador this year. Got a whole offseason now with Pat Shurmur. Got to know him last year. And there was some talk about last year's offense with the, what was the offensive coordinator's name last year?
Sean Lewis.
And it did look really good early, but a lot of option routes and choice routes. And so, like, when you have those routes, receivers can go left, they can go right, they can sit down. They have a lot of choices and options, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that's a ball holder for the quarterback. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't know what the guy's going to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't know what he's going to do. And so that's why you have to be on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, what happens? You hold the ball too long.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that last year a little bit with Shador. So hopefully this year they can find a good match between what Shador likes to do, what he's comfortable doing, and what this offense, what the weapons they have, you know, allows them to do. And you know, that, I think that's the biggest thing for me moving forward. What does it look like between Shador and Pat Shurmur this year? And will it look a little cleaner offensively than it looked there towards the end of the year with getting rid of the football, you know, and helping the offense out line out a little bit more? But also, I did like how Shador handled everything last year.
Yeah, he was mature. He saw some class.
Yeah.
Never threw anybody under the bus.
Right, with the offensive line, but also with Sean Lewis. Mm-hmm. I thought he handled himself very, very well through a lot that went on last year and a lot that wasn't ideal. With that offensive line was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably not the best offensive system for him also. So we'll see what it looks like.
Also had number 77 on this list was Colorado edge rusher B.J. Green. And then I mentioned it, but want to give the Rammies some love too. 96 was Colorado State's wide receiver, Torrey Horton. So four.
Good player.
Players.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
real
great.
Good player of the top 100 they call Colorado home. All right, I want to talk about the Broncos a bit. Strength of schedule. Some stuff like that is starting to come out. Can you put any stock into strength of schedule? And if so, how worried should we be about the Broncos' strength of schedule for 2024? We're going to kick that around next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Stokely, I asked the question, how much stock can you put into strength of schedule when it comes to, I mean, all sports, but we're specifically asking because the Broncos' strength of schedule is out. In fact, Warren Sharp of Sharp Football Analysts put it out yesterday. He has strength of schedule for all 32 NFL teams. He has the easiest schedule, the Atlanta Falcons. What if that had anything to do with old Kirk Cousins? Bad division, easiest schedule. You're going to go win some football games there with the Falcons if you're Kirk Cousins and that offensive staff, right?
Yeah, I think they play in a bad division. But I don't, as a player, you don't really look at that. Yeah, you're looking at, well, how much money are you going to pay me?
Okay.
Where am I going to live? and so I don't think many players look at strength of schedule.
All right.
They'll look at the division. Like,
of course,
okay,
yeah.
They're a weak division.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they will look at that.
It's interesting to note that according to Warren Sharp, the Pittsburgh Steelers have the toughest schedule going into 24, which, you know, that's a fun little story for us to keep an eye on. See how Russ is doing. He did show up to camp today, or they're doing their first day of offseason.
Oh.
And somebody just asked if we saw the video on the RamosLaw.com text line. It wasn't bad. First of all, he's not in a monster truck.
Okay.
I didn't even see the car he pulled up, and they didn't even give us that. It's just him walking up. He's not wearing his own jersey.
He's not?
No.
Oh, man. Wow. So he's making progress.
We're taking steps in the right direction. He is wearing some Russ gear. His backpack is the 3 brand.
Okay.
But
well,
that's not bad, right?
No, that's not bad. But I'll tell you this. When we saw that here, that was training camp.
Oh, you're right.
That was the intro for training camp,
right,
where they had the, you know, the Armageddon truck looking thing,
yeah,
and then him wearing his jersey. Like, think about that. Just think about that. the nerve. You put your own jersey on?
Yeah.
For a photo shoot to walk into the building? I just can't even imagine doing that. Like, I would, if someone mentioned that to me, I'd be like, are you crazy? Like, why would I wear my own jersey in this thing?
Right.
It makes no sense at all. And the fact that they actually did it and no one said anything, hey, let's put that Elway on.
Yeah.
Let's put that, you know, Manning on. Mm-hmm. Let's put, like, whoever, Nate, Terrell Davis, Rod Smith. I mean, but we just can't wear your own jersey in this thing. But they did.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can't get over that. I just can't.
No.
It blows my mind that he did that.
It's par for the course, though. It is par for the course. So, Steelers have the toughest schedule. We go all the way down to eighth on the list. That's where the Denver Broncos are. According to Warren Sharp, the Broncos have the eighth toughest schedule coming in to 24. Warren puts their, you know, his personal over-under win total in this as well. And he's got the Broncos at 5.5 on that win total right there. So,
okay.
Eighth toughest schedule and 5.5 wins is what Warren Sharp is looking at for these Denver Broncos. Two-part question for you in Broncos country. Do you put any stock into this? We haven't even had the draft yet. Rosters are going to change a little bit, but they're kind of what they are. And that 5.5 number, how are you feeling about it?
No, I put nothing into that. I mean, 1%, like just like hardly anything in the strength of schedule. It's so flawed. What is it based off of? It's based off of last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Of what happened last year. Well, that means nothing for this year. Look how much has changed throughout the NFL from year to year. So much changes every single year. So I really don't care what happened last year. It means nothing for this year. So I put very, very little in strength of schedule. And then also, by the way, what else happens in the NFL and in football? Injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They're a big part of it. What happens if you lose your quarterback? Is that going to change, you know, your team?
Sure does.
It really does, doesn't it? What happens if you didn't have your quarterback last year, he was hurt, and he's back this year? Well, you know what? You were bad last year, but you're going to be much better this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it works both ways there. That's why it's hard to look back last year and say, well, you know what? Man, you got a tough, tough schedule this year. Well, I don't know what the team looks like this year. It's going to look much different than last year. So I don't put a lot into that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put a ton into it either because of what you said. It's hard to gauge what it is, but I do value what Warren Sharp says. I think he's a good football mind and analyst. So that's the 5.5 is kind of the number I like on this of what it's going to look like for Denver. Because I think that's a pretty fair number of win total for the 2024 Broncos at 5.5. No, they won 8 and took a step forward. But, you know, if you were listening or watching, you know that this year was going to be a step backwards. I think that's a perfect number. And I think that's pretty much right where the Broncos live. Like,
We guessed.
Yeah.
And what did we guess? Because we got it right when it came out. Kisner and Drew got it wrong.
I think it was 5.5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what are you doing? $100 right here. Like, boom, I give you 100. You got to place it over, under right now. Obviously, a lot can change.
Yeah.
What would you put it on for the Denver Broncos this year?
Oh, man. I would ride the under on that.
I would go over.
You would.
I would go over. I would.
I think it's like 5. I think that's the number. It's
okay.
5.
Yeah. I mean, I can't give you a ton of pushback on that. I mean, look at we got 2 quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
Who are they?
Well, we got 2 guys that have QB next to their name. I don't want to call them full-on quarterbacks. But Jared Stidham, who they're calling Stiddy, and I kind of like that.
Oh, Stiddy.
I saw that this week. And then Ben DiNucci, of course.
Right. So we have a lot to be desired at the quarterback position. And a lot of positions around the quarterback position. So this is why I say over. I think they will get a quarterback. And if it's a young quarterback, there might be some growing pains. I really don't care who the quarterback is. I think Sean Payton can win you 6 games. He won 8 games last year.
Yeah.
With the disaster that they were offensively. So I think as long as the defense is competent, I think they can go out there with a competent quarterback and get you at least 6.
I like that, and I have that same respect for Sean Payton. As much as it was the right move to get rid of Russ, and this was never going to work with him, is it weird that I believe that and still think he's better than Jared Stidham?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Look, you're talking about Russell Wilson. We got to put a little respect on him,
okay,
right?
Good,
I mean,
yeah.
He won a Super Bowl, went to another one. It's like it wasn't that good here, but still a, you know, a serviceable NFL quarterback. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to, you know, have people thinking that, you know, we don't think that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was the money attached is why Russ isn't here
anymore. Played bad with here. He played bad here in these two systems and with the guys around him. But certainly I think he's a better quarterback than Jarrett Stidham. But I also think that there's going to be competition there. You're going to add a young guy to it and maybe another veteran to the mix here. So there's going to be a lot of options at the position. I just hope that they can – it's the other guys that are going to have to step up around the quarterback to really help get this team to, you know, over 5.5.
Yeah. Broncos country, what would you say? Would you take the over or the under of that 5.5 that Warren Sharp has? And do you put any stock into strength of schedule, or you got to wait until, you know, draft is over and teams are in camp and you start seeing some depth charts before you get into strength of schedule? Let us know at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. I got to tell you about the Fan Flyaway. We're doing it again. It is back, and this time we're sending you and a guest to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you got to do to get registered. DenverSports.com/TheFanFlyaway. You're also going to claim your special offer from Sport Clips while you're there at DenverSports.com. You could win 2 tickets to the game, round-trip airfare from Denver to wherever this destination may be. We'll put you up in a hotel for a couple nights and give you some money to spend, $500 walking around money. That's what's on the line at DenverSports.com/TheFanFlyaway. If you previously registered for a Fan Flyaway contest, you do not have to do it again, but I would tell everybody in your life because they do have a plus one. So go hit it, DenverSports.com/TheFanFlyaway. Good luck. We are going to D.C. We're going to find out what the Commanders are doing with that second pick overall. A conversation with our old friend Nikki Javala coming up next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We hit the hotline. It is 11:30 on The Fan. You want to join us, hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. That's where you can join the conversation. Watch the show over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. On the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline right now, we find our old friend Nikki Javala is there to talk some Commanders with us. Nikki, I feel like it's been forever. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are good. We're fired up for some football. Nikki, first, before we even talk football, you're a new mom.
I am.
Congratulations.
All right. Congrats,
Nikki. How has it been?
It's been amazing. My little guy, Julian, was born on the 28th, so he's about 2.5 weeks old. He's awesome.
Congratulations.
Well, congrats to you, Nikki. You know, we're always rooting for you from afar, and we want to talk to you about Commander stuff. We want to talk to you about who's going to be that second overall pick. Before we do that, you keep an eye at all on what's going on here in the Mile High City with the football team, with your former stomping grounds here. Well, what do you make of the Russ decision? And now, without Russ, how aggressive you think Sean Payton's going to be in this draft?
Yeah, it seems they're in a bit of a pickle with no quarterback there. I was following the Russ decision, and I was honestly glad I wasn't covering it. There's a lot of drama over there.
That's right.
I don't know what's... a lot of drama, but I mean, like, I understood the reasons for giving them an extension when they did. I thought it was a mistake then. It proved to be true. But now they really got their work cut out for them to find their next guy. Just with limited picks, limited cap space. So, you know, but Tom Baden, I mean, I would fully expect him to be pretty aggressive in finding his guy. So, yeah, I'm curious to see how they kind of rebuild after all this.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Nikki, thanks for joining us. Good to have you back on the show. What does Washington do at number 2? I'm assuming they're going to take a quarterback. Is it Jaden Daniels?
Great question. I wish I had the answer to that.
You know
they,
it,
I mean,
Nikki.
They've done a good job of keeping their cards close. I mean, Adam Peters, former Denver personnel guy. He's running the show over there, of course. If I had to guess now, I would guess Jaden Daniels, but that's not based on any true reporting there. They're going to have most of the quarterbacks in over these next couple of days before before the deadline for top 30 visits. So they'll get an even closer look at him. But I would lean Jaden Daniels, but I don't, you know, they could go any which way. At this point, I feel like the number one pick is almost irrelevant. So it's really up to them, and they have every resource available to them this year. I mean, not only the number two pick, but six picks in the top 100, gobs of cap space. Wow. I mean, they could pick a quarterback at two and try to get back in the first round with the number of picks they have thereafter. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Nikki, what's it been like with the regime change and coaching changes and having the second overall pick? Is it we're going to pick Jaden Daniels or Drake May or whomever it may be, and he's the guy right away, and we're just building from this young core? Or is it, pick and develop? They don't have a lot of choices there, but is it whoever's selected at two is the day one starter?
I would think, because do you really want to open the season with Marcus Mariota as your starter? Because that's the alternative right now. They have Marcus Mariota and Jake Fromm and Jeff Driscoll now on the roster. They wanted to go into camp with four quarterbacks. But in my mind, all those guys are backups. And the reason you bring in Marcus Mariota is to not only spell the starting quarterback, but to help mentor him, assuming he's going to be a younger guy that is drafted. So I would think you want somebody to come in and start. But, you know, if it is a guy that they feel needs some time to develop, you know, we've seen other teams do it. I don't think they would try to force a guy in there. This regime understands how important this pick is, and they really want to get it right. I mean, it's a crapshoot in the end, but I don't think they want to, you know, kill a kid's confidence or force him in there too early if they don't feel he's ready.
Nikki, now obviously new ownership, big deal, right? Daniel Snyder sold the team to Josh Harris. Looks like it's a different outlook over there, a lot more positivity from the fan base. How has that gone with the new ownership taking over from Daniel Snyder?
Yeah, it's been good mostly. I mean, their first year, they took over like a week before the start of training camp, so they didn't have time to really implement a lot of things they wanted to. The full staff remained, really. Of course, they went 4-13, and which, you know, sucked, but they landed them the number two pick. And then they really cleaned out. I mean, the entire coaching staff is new. The front office is pretty much new. I'm curious to see if they make more changes after the draft to the personnel department. But they really started to clean out. And I think in the coming year or so, maybe they start to do that on the business side too. But there's a ton of optimism. I think the best thing going for Josh Harris is that he is not Dan Snyder. So he will have a very long honeymoon as an owner, whereas I think others would probably get some flack for some decisions. I think everybody's just ecstatic that he's not Dan Snyder.
Yeah, new voice, new ownership. Yeah. It's always great there. Nikki, it's so great to chat with you, catch up with you. Thanks for making time for us here in Denver. And once again, congrats on being a new mom. You're going to crush that like you crush everything.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
There she is, Nikki Javala, The Washington Post, joining us right there talking about that Commanders number two overall pick. We're going to go through the kind of quarterback needy teams that are in the Broncos' way as we get closer and closer to the draft. And she feels almost the same way we feel. Jaden Daniels is going to be the quarterback for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, if not him, it's going to be a quarterback. So if it's not Jaden Daniels, you know, it's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. It's one of those guys. But they have to select a quarterback. You're in a perfect position. You know what Chicago's doing. And so you can operate in any direction you want to go here. So they're in a good spot there. Mm-hmm. Like she said, they got a lot of draft picks. I didn't realize they had that many draft picks.
Me neither. I knew they had a ton of money. I didn't know they had the draft.
A lot of draft picks, a ton of money. You're starting over again. So, I mean, this pick, if they get this right, you know, now all of a sudden in the next 10 years you're set. Mm-hmm. So they really they're in a good spot there, picking number two right now, and they know who's going one, and so they know who they can select from there, and it'll be interesting to see which direction they do go, but it will be a quarterback.
Yeah, Washington is a weird team of. I've never really cared about why, you know, what Washington has always been kind of is my football life is owned by a creepy dude, you know, kind of a shady character in Daniel Snyder. And now that he's out and almost what Nikki said, I'm sort of interested in almost half rooting for Washington and their fan base because they got out from underneath the umbrella of the shadiness that is Dan Snyder.
Yeah, it was bad, apparently, really bad there. And so it's, I'm sure as a fan base, you're just ecstatic to be done with that. And we talked a lot about that here when we were going through it, Zach and I did, that, you know, yeah, look, you know, you had Pat Bowlen forever. And so you're selling the team, and it's like, okay, it's a lot of nervousness there because you don't want to end up with a Dan Snyder, yeah, right? Next thing right. You know, you could be like, and it's not like you can, you got a 3-year contract with this guy.
He makes the rules.
Exactly. This is a, like pretty much a lifetime contract unless he screws it up like Dan Snyder screwed it up. But like, you're stuck with that guy for a long time. And if they don't prioritize winning and commitment to the team, the organization, the city, the state, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal who the owner is. Like, just look at Washington. So we were nervous about who it was going to be and what their commitment level was going to be, and it couldn't have been better. Like, I mean, we crushed it here.
Yeah.
We knocked it out of the park.
Literally.
And it's so that's refreshing. Because you looked over there at Washington, how miserable those fans were and where their standard used to be. Well, they can't forget that. You know, when Mark was playing there.
Yeah.
And they were winning Super Bowls, and you had Joe Gibbs, and, like, they had the standard there of winning and excellence. And then all of a sudden, new owner, and it just goes to pieces. Like, that could be a disaster. And so, obviously, here, it worked out really, really well for us because – our ownership group, you know, prioritizes winning and commitment to this community and this state. So that's been thankful. Yeah. Thankful we got that and refreshing that and nice and just all of those things. Like, okay, whew, we dodged one there because it could have gone the other way.
Yeah. And by the way, he's got $77 billion in the bank.
Yeah.
That's nice too.
that's really nice. Like, but there's a lot of rich people. They don't give a dang about winning, or that's going to cut corners and that are going to use this as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I wonder if the NFL, like the vetting process, because you need the rich billionaire owners. Right. And how many of those are in the world that want to invest that money? Like, how much digging can you really do? You need their money.
Well, exactly. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, hey, are you committed to winning? I don't know if that's a question, because guess what? They're going to say yes.
Yeah.
And then once they get in, they can operate however they want to operate. So that was the scary part, like going through that whole process of you might end up with a Dan Snyder. We didn't, thank goodness. So it was good for us.
Yeah. That's you bounce back with, what can you define winning? Because my bank account is going to win a lot.
Yes, exactly.
Over the next 10 years. All right. We will take a time out. I want to come back and go back to Philly, where the Rockies blew one last night with a terrible, terrible decision from Bud Black. We'll get into that, and I've got some details from the latest about Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter betting. You're not going to believe the number of bets that were made. We'll share that with you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. So red, and what the hell is on Joey's head? This is where I grew up.
We're not Nickelback haters over here.
We're Nickelback lovers.
That's right. I don't know that I was going to go that far, but then you said it, and yeah. I was like, I am.
We might as well just jump into it, right?
You're absolutely right.
Don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Embrace it.
That's right.
Let's go.
I'm comfortable in my skin.
Yeah.
I'm all right telling people everything about me. Most everything.
Yeah.
Some stuff I tell the Stoke, and then he's like, hey, don't say that anymore to anybody out loud. And I, you know.
Keep that in-house.
Yeah, that's in-house. That's off the record right there. Right,
off chicken
fingers?
Off the record.
All right. Want to talk a little bit about the Rockies. Want to talk a little bit about Shohei. Let's actually start with Shohei. I was reading some stuff last night, and it came out late last week. I just didn't get around to it when it was coming out. But some of the details on this story with Mizrahara, his interpreter, and the money that was stolen, taken to pay his debts. In a 3-year period, Stoke, from December of 2021 to January of 2024, Mizrahara made 19,000 bets. In a 3-year period. you know, I get down on some action from time to time.
It seems like a lot.
I don't think it's 19,000 in a 3-year period.
That's a lot, right?
That does seem like a lot to me.
Well, I mean, you go how many days in a year?
365-ish,
right around there, right? To 360 to 370, depending. If it's a leap year, it changes, right? Leap years changes, right? So, yeah, we're close. One of us is close.
365.
But a leap year, you got to subtract and add, so that's what I was doing, right? And so times three, you know, you're looking at, say 1,100. Let's just say 11, a little over 1,100.
Yeah.
And he's betting, I mean, that's a lot of bets in 3 years. That's a lot of bets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, wow. I mean, how many bets would that be a day?
17.
Around 17 a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's really not that much. Never mind. It's really not that bad by him. It's just, he's an average better. I mean, I thought it'd be like 150 a day. I mean, like, that's it? Oh, damn. That's nothing.
Yeah, do the math. You're like,
hold my beer.
Wait a minute.
Goodness.
That was a good moment of realization in real time.
All right, that's it? I thought, because I was waiting for like 75 a day. You said 17?
Yeah, I mean that's based on my math, which is sketchy. So
I've already crossed that line today.
Today, right?
Yeah, it's not even lunchtime, Josh.
I don't think you're at the same level. Maybe the amount of bets,
right?
But his losing bets.
Okay, talk to me.
$182.9 million.
Holy cow! What is he betting, a million a game? I mean, what the hell?
He did win some bets now.
Oh, okay, goodness.
He won bets in total of $142.2 million. Total net losses.
Yeah.
$40.7 million.
Ooh.
That's what he lost in betting on sports in a 3-year period. And then, by the way, he didn't lose anything, actually. Right. Shohei lost $40.7 million.
No, he was good. He was good. Wow. That's quite – I go like – all right, so – because all this was done through a bookie, mm-hmm. not like a gambling, you know, a legal site. All this was done through a bookie that's – I guess that's not legal, right?
Yes.
And then that bookie had to be like, oh, my gosh, this is the best thing ever.
Well, they actually have some text between Mizuhara and the bookie that had come out, and it was on March 20th of 2024, so not even a month ago. Mizuhara messaged him, text saying, have you seen the reports? The bookmaker responded with, yeah, but that's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. Don't worry, man. I totally get it. Mizuhara's response on a text, technically, I actually stole from him. It's all over for me.
Oh, he actually told him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a text message that now government bodies have the records of that.
Right.
So he's full on taking the blame on this.
Right.
And, you know, I'm still having a hard time believing
you.
That.
No, I told you. I told you that. I mean, look, wow.
Can I share one more text?
Yeah.
Again, this is from November 14th of 2022. This is, you know, he's betting those bets every single day. He messages the bookie, quote, I'm terrible at this sports betting thing,
oh,
huh?
Oh, gosh.
LOL. Any chance you can bump me up again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying.
Wow.
End quote.
Yeah, I'll bump you up, buddy. You don't have to worry about that. Sure. You want more credit line? Yeah. You got more? I mean, as long as you keep paying, he's going to give you a bigger credit limit there.
It's unlimited, basically.
Exactly. I mean, golly. I mean, you lost. I mean, losing bets of $182 million, winning bets of $142 million. That's what, 320? $320 million of gambling of action.
Yeah.
In 3 years.
That's insane. He's betting over $100 million a year.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, divide that by 362. Right, per year, well, anywhere between 362 and 367.
Yeah, of course,
right?
Of course.
Because every now and then we have that double leap year.
That's right.
And those really screw up my math. So that's a ton of money. Holy cow, mm-hmm. is he betting a lot. But he was paying, so if you're paying, you're good. And if you're that bookie, like, goodness gracious, like, this is the best thing ever.
If you're the bookie, you don't care where the money comes from.
No, like, he's paying. You don't ask. Do you think bookies ask? hey, where'd you get that money from, buddy?
No, no, they don't.
No, I don't know you. You might have a lot of family money. Who knows? All I know is I'm getting paid. Okay. And then the luck ran out there. And now he's like in the middle of a you-know-what storm. Like, how did I get in the middle of this thing?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to run a book over here. And now I'm making world news because of Ohtani. Because
I got to make $40 million bucks off these pools.
Exactly.
That guy's in trouble, right?
Who?
The bookie you were just talking about.
Yeah, I think so, probably because...
They got his text messages. They know who he is, or they are.
Oh, yeah, they know who he is. The big thing is IRS. That's who comes for you.
Because you weren't paying all the money you were collecting.
Exactly. I mean, now, if he was paying his taxes, okay, but now they're going to hit you over the head with a bunch of all... I mean, it's just... It's night-night for a while for this guy, I believe.
Yeah.
Unless he gets some kind of plea deal or something, but... That's not good. Not good at all.
What if he has insight on Shohei coming to the spot and making a bet himself?
No. No. Come on. Come on. What is this, fantasy land? No. No chance he's got that. So, I think it's definitely a bad day for that guy.
The records also indicated that there were no bets made on baseball. In fact, what the article states is, quote, the records seized do not reflect any bets made on baseball games.
Okay, well, that's good. At least, you know, whether it's... Yeah, I never believed it was Ohtani, but even as an interpreter, that's a bad look for Major League Baseball. So I'm sure they made sure those records disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw those in the shredder there with the Enron, paperwork there. seriously, okay, whatever. How much do you really buy that and believe that? But whatever.
I mean, I don't even buy that Ohtani is completely innocent in this.
I know you don't.
I mean, $40 million bucks, it's just... Like I said, I would love for someone to show me Ippei, I believe his name, Mizuharo's family in 10 years from right now and how they're living. And then we can all make our judgments then, I guess.
You think he's going to get a little side axe, little cash?
Yeah. I think
for his
loved ones will be taken care of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Hey, and look, you know what? I don't know how old the guy is, but... I guess that's a weird question, right? Would you take one for the team and do some jail time to know that your family's taken care of forever?
How much jail time, man?
Up to 30 years.
Uh-huh.
Up to 30 years
no,
is what
hell
he's facing.
No. I don't have that much longer to live, man. Come on. The time's ticking over here for me. I'm just saying, I don't know how old he is, but
imagine the life Lana would have.
Huh?
Imagine the life Lana could have.
Lana already has a great life. Goodness. She's already got it made.
Yeah, she does. She gets to hang out with you every day.
That's right.
That's exactly right. All right, we didn't touch on the Rockies, but we will do that coming up in our lunch hour. Want to tell you what decision Bud Black made last night that had all of the baseball world scratching their head. Plus, I want to dive a little bit deeper into Spencer Rattler. We talked about him a bit yesterday, Stoke, and now a national media member, a football analyst, is pounding the table for Spencer. Could that mean he fits in Denver? We're going to kick those around next.